In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
LeBron James, sexiest man alive, and virgins making news.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
The worst day to be horny is Sunday. The best day is a Friday and Saturday night.
Andy Dirt Johnson.
You want to close. Close. As in C-L-O-S-E. Not C-L-O-T-H-E-S.
And Brandon Sprague.
I love me a Spanish-speaking woman. I really, really, really do. I love it. Now, that ain't all you got to have. You know what I'm saying? You ain't got to have it, but I mean, it is a plus. A bilingual woman, specifically Spanish, whispering in your ear, it's a beautiful thing.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
The expectation is that you're going to be ready to step up and handle your business. That's her expectation, whether she tells you or not. Am I right, Solange? Amen. Amen.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number 2, Dirt and Sprague here on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, and of course, YouTube. Good morning, YouTube.
Hello, everybody.
If you missed the first hour of the show, we talked a little bit about Swag's bad vacation scheduling.
Yes, horrible planning on his part.
I did survive my 7th year of Hood to Coast, though my left Achilles felt like it was going to pop 90 times.
How long until you run again? How long is it going to be?
I'm taking, like, running, I might take a solid 3 weeks
off. Yeah, give yourself
off
a good break.
My Achilles, I was actually, this is douchey, I was really impressed with my time on my final leg.
Cause solid run, man.
I run 600 feet up
straight
on my
up
final
the hill,
leg,
yeah.
And then it's 2 miles down.
Not good.
And I had like a 10.01 pace, got 9 kills on that run, and my Achilles the whole time was, I was just like, I kept seeing Kobe in my brain.
Yeah, popping, you're shooting your free throws with a popped Achilles out there.
The KD injury, yeah. In Toronto, I'm like, don't do it, don't do
don't
it.
Snap, don't do snap,
it.
Don't snap, don't snap.
But we got through it, so we talked about that, we got to the Florida State loss to Georgia Tech, a little DJU ACC talk, and a crazy-ass neighbor in my neighborhood.
Yes, people are saying that you should get your own crossbow.
Well, I, you know,
just have it sit out on your porch with a crossbow as she drives by. What are you going to do, lady? What are you going to do, huh?
Aside from the nuts and craziness of having a SWAT unit go into your neighborhood, I was stuck for a while on the fact of, like, all the weapons to be pointing. How often would you see a crossbow? What's the percentage of a crossbow?
Yeah.
What's the usage rate of crossbow with weapon?
Also, I don't know anything about this lady and her physical makeup.
I tell you, she's white with glasses, looks like
older
she's
lady.
In the 40 to 50 range.
I got to tell you, the threat of the crossbow, pretty low on the list. I'm actually relieved that it's a crossbow and not a shotgun.
Really?
I am. Like, that cross, have you ever, like shot a crossbow?
I've never shot a gun.
It's not easy to do. Like, to pull those things back, like, if it's a legitimate thing, like, it takes a lot of aim, it takes a lot of practice. You got to know what you're doing with that thing.
I've done a bow and arrow. That is hard to
sure,
do once I got weighted.
I think for an old lady, a crossbow is, too. I'm giving her a hit rate from more than 20 yards at, like, 7%.
Dirt, I think if you saw this lady, you'd disagree with
her. I'm not terrified. Go ahead. What are you going to do?
Yeah,
bring it on, crossbow lady.
You know
you're
what
not
happens?
Hitting me.
In a movie,
I'm a half a football field away. There's no chance you're making this shot.
In a movie. movie, Schultzy, he says, oh, what are you going to do? And she literally shoots him. And now he's got a bow and arrow stuck in his chest.
Yeah, it's all right. It's a badass thing to have. And I'm walking around with an arrow sticking out of me. No, I look like a tough guy.
No, you're on the ground dead. Dude.
Charging her. Get out of here. Yeah, you're not scared. About?
This sounds like the exact kind of person that would have a crossbow. So it's just like they're kind of out there. They're, yes. It's like you just named their two weapons of choice, a shotgun or a crossbow. It's going to be one of the two. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe there's a lady with a machete back there with the same sort of mental makeup.
Yeah.
Sean Keeler of the Denver Post is going to join us. He's been in the news this weekend. He's getting boycotted by Deion.
He is, yeah. He called him he came up with just some phenomenal nicknames for Deion that he used in his articles. And he called him the Bruce Lee of BS.
The Bruce Lee of BS.
Deposition Deion.
Yep.
The Deion Kool-Aid.
Yep.
And just the general circuit. Also, the false prophet, that was used as well.
Deion Kool-Aid's been used by almost everybody in America.
It has, to a certain extent. So he asked, why am I no longer allowed to ask questions? And they responded with, well, you've used the phrase, Bruce Lee, a BS, and so we are no longer going to allow you to ask questions.
Ah, yes.
Because that's the way we're going in American society.
I'll tell you very quickly, because I want to get to this list. I'm not exaggerating here. So I took one sweatshirt, because it always gets cold at different points, and you never know when rain's going to hit, right?
Oh, I saw it on the gram. I saw what you were wearing.
I'm just telling you, one of my more comfortable sweatshirts is my prime Colorado white sweatshirt.
Do you believe now?
So I took it. And I'm not kidding you, man.
Get some dirty looks?
It solicited a lot of conversation.
Yeah, I bet.
I thought maybe a person would say something.
Hey, go Colorado.
I think I lost track of how many Go Buffs. And then also talking to slightly older people, and they were like, my daughter goes to Colorado. My son's at Colorado. And a gal stopped me, and she goes, Go Buffs. She went to the beach. She goes, Go Buffs, hell yeah. And I was like, well, I'm actually an Oregon State alum. I'm more wearing this out of irony. It's, you know, it was funny. It was a big deal. And she just started laughing. She goes, was that an expensive form of irony? And I was like, it's $30.
That's a great question.
Which it was. That was a valid question.
Appreciate it.
And I go, I just love the way that it's going. It's hilarious to me because it doesn't look good. And she goes, well, yeah, none of us think it's going to go well, but everybody's talking about us.
Everybody's on board.
And that was kind of the general sense was, they all know what this is. They have the same thoughts as us.
If you have a brain, you know how this is going to end.
But, man, how much talk is Colorado getting right now? So they're like, hell yeah, we're on the TV.
I do know this. So when I was younger, I used to love buying, like whenever I would go somewhere, I'd get something random sports related from wherever I was for a million different teams that I never rooted for. Like I had a South Carolina polo for years because my brother lived in North Carolina. We'd visit, be like, that's kind of funny. I got a Clemson hat. I have no animosity towards the programs, but I'm not a fan.
Right.
The funny part is you would wear those things and then get comments whenever you would go. And it was like somebody random would always identify it and give you a go Clemson or a go this team or go that team. And after years of fighting against it the way that you did, I ended up ultimately just leaning into it. When I would wear a random team and somebody would drop a go whoever, I would respond with hell yeah, like I was a fan of the team. This person has no clue who I am. I'm never going to see this person again. And I'm going to play in this fairy tale land like I'm a South Carolina grad from 1997.
I also forgot to tell you, I met some listeners out on the Hood to Coast.
Hell yeah, dude. I had a listener come say what up. Shout out to P1 Corndog who came say what up to me at the Mariner game.
Oh, really?
He texted in and asked what section I was going to be sitting in. I told him, and he came down and said what up, and it was great to meet him.
The one thing, though, and I do the same thing, so this isn't a criticism. Sometimes people will say, like, hey, love the show, and we'll talk a little bit, and then I walk away, and I go, I don't think we exchanged.
I don't know your name.
I didn't know his name.
What's your name, man?
So there were a couple listeners that I got to meet along the Hood to Coast journey that were, you know, they came up and gave some love, and we always appreciate that.
Love to hear that.
Team talent composite lists.
Yes.
Okay, so this is football's most talented teams in 2024, according to the 24/7 metrics.
Yes.
Star rankings.
Star rankings.
Number one is, no surprise, Alabama.
I am shocked.
Number two is, no surprise, Georgia.
I am shocked.
Number three,
Ohio State.
Buckeyes. Texas is number four, and this is where it starts to get a little interesting.
Mm-hmm.
They say, according to this list, Clemson is number five.
I mean, I think it's important to remember,
Clemson,
as much fun as we have made of Dabo,
so this should be a very good game, not a two-touchdown spread as a Vegas.
That's what they're telling us. That's what the talent composites are telling us.
Okay. Now,
these are not always accurate.
Okay.
Oregon had a talent composite roster better than Washington last year.
Mm-hmm.
How did that go? They lost both times they played them, right?
So fair point.
It's not always just, you know, the star rankings next to your name. But I think it is important to remember that Clemson, despite their lack of interest in using the transfer portal, which will maybe be their ultimate downfall, they're still a top 10 recruiter in the country. Every year, go back and look at their last four recruiting classes, and I guarantee you, all of them, if not 10 or 11, are inside the top 10. So they recruit at one of the highest levels in the country consistently. He's just unwilling to add the piece here or there that he needs to fill out the weaknesses of the rest of his roster that's likely keeping him from winning the biggest games that matter.
You're telling me Dabo makes good ice cream, but he's just like, we don't do whipped cream and cherries here.
Exactly. It's a good base. It's nice, yeah. But you're not getting a sundae out of this.
Oregon is 6, A&M 7.
Nobody's giving us a chance.
I actually really like A&M to win this weekend.
Oh, you're a buyer on A&M now.
Just this weekend. Oh, I like Elko. Elko's a good coach. I think we can agree on that.
Connor Wegman is a good quarterback when healthy.
I'm not saying that like I'm going into the cult here.
Uh-oh.
I just home a little uncertain about what Notre Dame is. There's intel out of Notre Dame because I've been doing my college football research.
Yeah, what are they saying about the Irish?
Offensive line's looking a little suspect. They just lost a guy for the season.
They did.
So it's like, is the replacement going to be good enough? I know Riley Leonard's got some excitement for people, but okay, now expectations are here.
We got coach against his old quarterback in this game.
He knows the weaknesses. Hey, let's blitz the hell out of this kid from the right side! I like A&M. Oklahoma 8, LSU 9, and the Fighting Irish are 10. The back end of this, Mario's at 14. Florida State just lost.
I was surprised in Mario's, to be honest with you. That one was surprising to me.
Well, he's recruited pretty well. I know.
I'm saying I'm surprised he's not higher based on the way he's recruited, because they have done they had the number 4 ranked class in the country, I want to say, last year. That's the one area that he will always succeed in and hit the portal. And so I was surprised that their composite ranking wasn't higher than that.
I know Oregon fan likes to sometimes dunk on Mario of like, hey, we're better recruiting now without you. It's kind of weird. We didn't all expect that.
Mm-hmm.
It is crazy to put this in context. I know Oregon dabbles pretty hard in the portal as well as Miami does.
Yes.
To look at Oregon at 6 and Mario be at 14, knowing Mario's done a really good job at Miami with recruiting, I mean, that just kind of reminds you how much better Dan Lanning has been, because they're in the same time frame here.
Well, and that was it's not a weakness for him. Like, it's one thing if you're struggling or if you're Dabo that's not willing to address a transfer portal, it makes sense to be a little bit further down the list. But for Miami to be that far down, to me, it doesn't make a lot of sense. I think the only question about Miami this year is he going to get out of his own way? Is he going to allow an offensive coordinator to have full reins? Is he going to take a knee late in the game when they have the lead and not fumble it away and find a way to lose and snatch a victory from the jaws of defeat? That to me is my... I don't have any questions about the talent that is on Miami's roster. They are loaded this year.
Well, it kind of led me to do something on a Monday that I normally would hold for like a Thursday or a Friday show, but I'm too antsy. When I got back from Hood to Coast, aside from the pain, I'm like, football season.
I am so excited, dude.
I'm locked in, and you mentioned Miami. They've got a massive game this weekend.
Massive.
And I was wondering this on a Monday going into week one, because we just had week 0, we had the upset. We can go through the schedule of the biggest games, because let's just call a spade, okay? I'm curious to see what my beefs are going to be, even though it's Idaho State. I want to see what the offense looks like, who's the quarterback, I expect them to win. They better.
For the love of God.
Holy crap if you lose.
Just win.
And I expect Oregon to win 63-7 the way they did against Portland State. And I probably shouldn't have to watch the second half of that game, and I'll allow you, the psycho, to
I will tell you how Dante Moore looks.
No, you'll tell me how Austin Novosad
looks. Austin Novosad looks in the fourth quarter. Right? I'll fill in the cracks for you.
I'll let you do that, okay? I want to go through the list and say, what teams have an ability to shock us this weekend if they win week one tilts? And I'll start with Miami and Florida, because everybody's pointed to Florida's schedule and said, good luck, Billy Napier, you're getting fired. And Mario's got like ACC's open. You've got talent here. You're in the top 15. This is your year. You got the quarterback. You got the running back. Everything is designed for you to win this conference now. And I think they're the second favorite behind Clemson, but people don't trust Clemson anymore because they won't portal. So I'll start with that one. Like, what does it mean if Miami loses in week one and Florida wins?
It'd be hilarious, first off.
It would be hilarious.
It would allow me to laugh, and I always enjoy laughing at the misery of others, and laughing at the misery of a Miami fan brings me joy and happiness in life and makes me feel complete. So it first would make me laugh. Second, I think it would make us readjust maybe what Florida can do against that tough schedule, and it's not going to be maybe a 6-6 year. I mean, you win that game, you got a chance to go into that final stretch, which is ridiculously challenging, and have a serviceable year. Maybe Billy Napier doesn't get fired. Like, that's how important that game is. And vice versa, if you're Miami and you look at it, they're a favorite on the road in Gainesville. And if you can't win that game, I think it just sets you up for another year of, oh God, what is in store for us? Are we still not going to realize all the potential of the talent on that roster? I think the other candidates, though, one of them is a game that I'm not going to predict that there will be an upset, but because of what we're talking about in this segment of composite talent rankings, Clemson giving a run to Georgia would, I think, open a lot of people's eyes of, oh, there's Dabo. Maybe he's not dead yet. Maybe he still is fighting. He's a trendy pick right now to win the ACC, especially with Florida State losing this weekend. Again, I'm not picking that upset. That's one, though, that would definitely turn our attention.
Can I interrupt you real quick? Does 7-5 keep Napier there?
If I were them, I would consider it. Considering their schedule and how they lose those games and who they lose to, I would consider it.
He doesn't. So I just looked at this. I was curious. I didn't follow it. He's not a good recruiter.
No, he has had classes that have fallen apart close to signing day.
They're
the last 24th. Couple of years.
They're behind Rutgers in Maryland right now.
Now, he did sign the number one recruit in the country, or the number one quarterback, DJ Lagway, I believe.
There's a five star. He had the
number one
five-star
quarterback
kid,
who was already in Gatorade commercials, which, by the way, brilliant on Florida's part. It put him immediately in a Gatorade commercial.
Well, but they also signed Jaden Rashada, and that didn't land.
Well, he never even made it there. Yeah,
that's
he never
I'm
made it to campus.
They've done this before where they've gotten excited and then they didn't even get
very
the
true.
Kid.
They at least got this kid in a Gatorade commercial, so they got their claws in him because that's a big Florida thing.
I'm with you largely though. If they can beat Miami, you kind of start. And that's the thing is week one, we just always want to overreact. Can they go 8-4? And 8-4 to me, I think Florida fan would maybe give him the one more season of like, okay, we'll see what you have. That was tough. Thank you. What year would this... Is this his third year, Billy Napier?
I want to say third year. I think he was in the same cycle as Lanning.
So you'd go into year four. You probably exceeded expectation for many people.
I mean, that is the hardest schedule in the history of college football. And I don't even think that's controversial to say.
On paper, it certainly is.
Yes, year three. 6-7 with a bowl loss. So 6-6 and then 5-7 last year.
So massive year for him and if he can navigate it. I know where you were going. Let's do this on the other side.
Okay.
And then we'll get to Sean Keeler from the Denver Post. He's been banned by Deion Sanders. What does he think of it? And he covers the Broncos. So Bo Nix is going to start. So Sean Keeler at the ticker. We'll carry over the college football talk. Who can shock us or surprise us or make us feel differently about themselves after week one coming up this week? We'll get to that next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
All right, we got to go a little early, just a smidge, because we got Sean Keeler coming up, Denver Post. He is the subject of a Deion boycott. Deion Sanders has a contract stipulation that if you badmouth him, Prime can choose to ignore you.
That's right.
You know, you play into the primetime game. This is what you get.
This is what happens.
They kind of get it going for us this week on Thursday, North Dakota State at Colorado.
I cannot wait for that game.
I'm taking North Dakota State plus the 9.5.
Thursday night, kind of a nice little night of football.
It's going to be nice to settle in.
Dare I say, you got that game, which I will hate watch Colorado all year this year, and I will laugh my ass off if they lose. Very excited for that game. On at the same time, North Carolina, Minnesota. Kind of a fun little under the radar.
We're rowing the boat on this show, dude.
Entertaining game. I hear we're all PJ Fleck fans now. It's in Minnesota, 5 o'clock on Fox. Excited for both of those.
I think, honestly, Because, you know, the timing of Big Ten Media Day versus you booking a vacation a year out.
Yes, just wonderful timing.
I think you would have loved PJ Fleck.
He sells a good sell.
He was like, just fun. He was loose. He was, you know, open on things. He's fun to talk to.
It was two notes on this. Funny that I met a listener at the Mariner game. I mentioned that. Shout out to P1 Corndog who came and said what up. But one of the funniest things that he told me was he said he's been listening since we moved, you know, since we're afternoons and to the morning. Mm-hmm. And he said, like, 3 years ago, I didn't watch a second of college football, but I listen to you guys every day. And he's like, now I'm like hooked. He was like, I'm all in. I'm so excited for the year to start.
I love that.
So that was an awesome sell job. Another thing, and want to make sure to give props to my peeps at YouTube TV looking for that endorsement, that you have unlimited recording space on YouTube TV.
Isn't it amazing?
You can legitimately
pick
go in.
Teams.
And I did this. I set every college football game to record.
Yeah.
Every single one. Now, will I watch all of them? No. I am going to record every single game this year.
I did the Oregon State, Washington State games because they let you go team in conferences. Yeah. So
I was going team by team, and I was like, this is stupid. Click NCAA football, and every single game will record.
But on the other side of this, I asked before the break, and you kind of dove into it, and that was my fault. But like this weekend, so here is our ranked matchups, okay? Because Oregon State play Idaho's. Clemson at Georgia. They are 2 touchdown underdogs.
Yes, they are.
They have the number 5 talent team composite. Like, I know Georgia's really good. Georgia may win the national championship. I mean, this is making me think like Clemson should be hanging with Georgia if you're telling me this is the talent composite. Now, coaching and portaling and quarterback play, like Garrett Riley, what is he with Cade Klubnik this year? I don't know, but
you're 3 in a system together. Like, if you're not there now, you're never going to get there.
It just feels like such a massive year for Dabo, and I know winning 2 titles means everything, and they may do nothing about him, but if you refuse to portal, you just seem like you're too, I don't know, old school and not evolving with the game. That's what danger, you know, starts to creep in. Mm-hmm. Number 8 Penn State is in Morgantown. West Virginia was better last year than people thought they were.
Yes, they were.
We talked about Miami at Florida. Notre Dame goes to Texas A&M. And LSU, USC on Sunday. Yep. And USC is another team on this talent composite list in the top 20. So it's like, what team will surprise us this week where we go, all right, man, here we go. This team, this opinion, it's changing.
Outside of an outlandish upset, which could happen. It's college football. That's why we love the sport. You get random things that happen all the time. I think there's 2 games that I circle most. USC-LSU, I have no clue. I have no clue what to expect in that game. Who's the favorite? Who should win?
LSU minus 4.5.
You tell me that their defense still sucks and USC wins, I'm not surprised. You tell me USC can't stop a nosebleed and LSU slings it all over them, I have no clue what to expect in that game. I think they're very similar teams. I think the 2 that I would circle that would open people's eyes, you mentioned both of them. Penn State on the road at West Virginia. West Virginia is not a pushover. It's a tough place to go in and play. All this hype about Drew Aller came out last year. Here we go. Penn State's finally got their quarterback. He was disappointing in their big games. On the total of the year, he had an okay year. Disappointing in the games that matter. This is a game, if you're Penn State, you got to win. You're a top 10 team in the country. You're going on the road to an unranked opponent. You got to win this game. You're nearly a 10-point favorite on the road in this game. So that's what, if Penn State loses on the road to West Virginia, not only does it make us again go LOL James Franklin, but also, hey, maybe West Virginia is one of those teams in a wide-open Big 12 race that can make some noise. And I think the other one is, people roll their eyes at it, but Texas A&M has put together talented rosters and recruiting classes many years in a row. A chunk of those guys have transferred out, but to the listing there that we just read in the last segment, this is still a talented roster with an upgraded head coach, I would argue, and a really good quarterback when healthy. They're a favorite over a top 10 team at home.
2.5.
And, you know, against Notre Dame. And so I think if A&M wins that game, maybe you say, hey, Jimbo was clearly the problem. He was making $100 million and he gave up. They have the talent to beat basically anybody on their schedule. And for Notre Dame, if they win that game, they have a cakewalk run the rest of the season after Texas A&M.
I'm listing 6 games for you just of like, I put Colorado in it because there's always going to be interest. And we'll talk to Sean Keeler here in a second. It's crazy to say, though, like West Virginia, unranked, Florida, A&M, USC. The biggest upset by a point spread would be Clemson.
Yes.
Of all of those teams.
I mean, the beauty of the sport is that we nearly had what was likely going to be the biggest upset of the college football season on Saturday. The biggest upset point spread-wise all of last year was 26 points. That was the biggest upset we saw all year.
Nevada was a 28-point underdog to SMU.
They just choked that
Who, game even the dirty poll included, praised SMU. They're high on the ponies this year. The ponies are in the
Preston
ACC.
Stone.
And they damn near lost. That was almost the biggest upset of the year. They were a 28-point underdog at home.
Let's carry this over. What's it like to be boycotted by a college football coach at a major program? And Bo Nix is starting. We'll talk with the guy behind the story, Sean Keeler has been boycotted by Dion. He joins us for the Daily Ticker coming up next. But first, Schultze with Sports Update.
All right, Daily Ticker time here on a Monday, brought to you by Pelican Brewing. Visit PelicanBrewing.com for more details on locations, events, award-winning beers. Independently brewed since 1996, Pelican Brewing, born at the beach. Our guest today for the Daily Ticker is a man who has been in the news all weekend long for interesting reasons. Deion Sanders no longer taking questions from him, and we played his back and forth with Deion at their opening press conference a couple of weeks ago. Sean Keeler, columnist for the Denver Post, at Sean Keeler on Twitter. You can go give him a follow. Sean, good morning to you. What has it been like the last 72 hours kind of being in the eye of the storm? You're a quite talked about person right now.
I'll tell you what, I've heard from relatives I haven't heard from in years. And by years, I mean decades, where they're like, one, you're still doing this? Like, there's still newspapers and you're still trying to do this? And how are you holding up? I mean, it's been a little bonkers, but, I signed up for it. And when you do, when you poke the bear, sometimes the bear and the cubs bite back.
Yeah, they do. I still get that reaction to family too, like AM radio, huh? That's still a thing. Yeah. Like, yeah.
We're still here.
I want to ask, how off guard were you caught by all of this? Like, just, hey, Sean, no longer going to be talking to Prime anymore.
Not very. The news that came out Friday that then blew up and became one of the college football stories of the weekend. I didn't think there'd be an ESPN.com story with my name on it after a headline. That was new. That had been in the works for about 10 days. And they let us know privately, about 8 days earlier, give or take. Yeah, seven. But it was in the works, and it was a matter of having them put something down in writing. As for their reasons, and they did, and I don't agree with those, and I think a lot of people who have looked at their reasoning agree with me that it's pretty subjective, to put it mildly.
Well, I think to that point, Sean, my question, I guess, to them that I would ask you is, like, how are you supposed to, like, cover this program? Because I think a lot of the things that you're bringing up are things that I agree. I don't take him very seriously as a head coach. Like, he's unwilling to recruit. He's unwilling to do in-home visits. It's a lot of pomp and circumstance, but I don't really trust. Like, I don't think he's there for the long haul, and I don't think he's doing things the right way to actually build a program, and it's a lot of kind of attention-seeking. If they get off to a bad start, are you not allowed to ask critical questions? Are you not allowed to ask, hey, what's wrong with your offensive line? Like, where's the limit on being critical, or where's the line, I guess, on being critical or not being critical? It's just, it's kind of a weird position for a reporter to be in.
Yeah, and as a columnist, you're paid to give your opinion.
Yeah.
I think that's the part that I sort of struggle with all this. Like, your feelings are hurt, and I get that, and you take them as personal affronts. I get that, but you're also a head coach who walked in on day one in his program and sat 50, 60 kids who were here from, granted, not a very good football team, but a lot of them were also very, very young, and said, because I wrote it down, you were soft, mediocre, and the disappointment to your family and to the fans everyone here. That's on tape. Like, we all can tape that. I just taped it again because you're making me tape it again when you do stuff like this. Yeah. It's tough because, look, any subject we deal with, anything in life, we're not perfect. We're all hypocrites. We can't help it. It's called being human. But when your brand is moral absolutism and everything that you do is right, when you slash out against the media, not just me, you guys saw that press conference 2 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
when you are giving friendly fire just because you can, what does that say about you on that stage? And it says you're not ready for this. You didn't realize the depth of what you signed up for, and he's finding out. And I think some of that frustration is coming to a core. And look, I didn't want them to lose. I don't dislike Deion Sanders. None of this is personal. To answer his question, I wouldn't come if I disliked him.
Mm-hmm.
But it's my job why? Why are you like this? I'm a columnist, and it's my job, and you're the highest paid public employee in the state. You are going to be accountable to critics. Well, but your criticisms are personal. Yours haven't been to anyone? what are we doing here? So that would have been a better response on site, but my boss has said, no, not there. Pull the ripcord. And if, by the way, I'd be happy to discuss these very points in private. We have offered. CU has not returned our offers to do that. Colorado and Dion's team have not returned our messages to do that. And their only response is what you saw on Friday. Yeah.
I ran an event this weekend up here, and I bought early last year when he was the talk of college. I bought a prime Colorado sweatshirt. I'm not a Colorado fan. I just thought it was funny, and like it was bothering people.
He believes now.
I started eating almonds, you know? So like I did it, and now I wear it because it's comfortable. And I was surprised how many Colorado fans stopped me and were like, my daughter goes here, my son goes here, oh, I'm an alum, sure. Go Buffs. And almost every one of them to a person was just laughing like, oh yeah, it's not going to end well, but everybody's talking about it. It's like they're just happy they're being talked about and they don't really think that there's really anything to this. How are the people at the university, you think, feeling behind the scenes going into just year two with not only this, but the recruiting woes and being in last place in the Pac-12 last year and changing the staff completely and changing an entire offensive line? How is that university, do you think, behind the scenes feeling about all of this?
I think behind closed doors, they said what a lot of CU fans said to your face. I think that's a very smart take. And by the way, most I've met the head of the Buff Club in Portland, and this is a super smart guy, super nice guy, Wisconsin guy. I'm from Iowa. It's a long story. No, super good guy. So they do get it. Like, it's just like, oh, we exist again. This is, you know, but the trick is that they also know is, to your point of your sweatshirt, what do you see on there? It's Prime 21. Mm-hmm. It's not Ralphie anymore. It's Dion. Like, he's the new face / whatever. And that was going to be true anywhere he went, whether it was Rutgers or South Florida, you know, what have you. They weren't bad, by the way. They almost hired Deion Sanders. I think they went to a bowl last year. Mm-hmm. I think that's right.
Yeah.
I think behind closed doors, the results starting Thursday night against North Dakota State are going to have to show out for somebody who has talked the talk for 18 months and has to start putting it up. It's been all about this season. From day one, people told me privately, look, we're going to have to do a lot of, and this is true at a lot of places, we got to clean out, we got to clear out, we got to re-identify what we do. Now, it's not done to the degree that was done, and to the almost, you know, I don't want to say schizophrenic, but just jarring ins and outs. But everybody runs out guys and brings their own guys. Not everybody changes half their staff and brings their staff in after 1 year. I think they want to see some steak, or the sizzle is going to burn. I think that tends to be the feeling behind closed doors. But they are making so much money. They want to ride this magic carpet out ride as long as they can, because it's been a marketing bonanza. It's been huge.
Yeah, I don't blame them at all for that. Last one for you, Sean. I know you got to go, and we appreciate the time here in Portland. I don't take it very seriously. I remember walking around on the sidelines at Autzen last year, and Terrell Owens was running drills with the wide receivers, and I'm like, he's not even a coach. Like, how is this a real program? Like, what is happening
sure
right now? Like, you tell me he's gone in 6 months because his kid's gone and Travis Hunter's gone. I'm not shocked. Who knows? But how do you think it all ends?
I think that's the most likely scenario, but he's trying to publicly plant seeds. He said it again Saturday. I'm in this for the long haul. I'm liking this college thing. Well, he likes it here because he's got a contract that says he can talk to whoever he wants, whenever he wants, and do whatever he wants. It's right. Amazing. I want Deion Sanders' lawyers. Can I get that? Can I find that?
If you can high step into an end zone, you eventually get to that point. Yes.
Yeah, I do. I can't high step out of bed. So, it gets to be one of those things. But it's a remarkable deal. I think your odds are still pretty good about this era coming to an end December and January. We know the running joke is they'll make a bowl game and 40 guys won't play in it. The opt-outs will be whatever the world record are. But they do have that kind of talent. We make a joke of it, but there are dudes. This is one of the greatest kind of transfer portal teams ever in theory. And I guess we're going to find out if the coaching matches that. And I have my doubts, but I'm happy if they prove me wrong, and I will give them credit if they do. Full credit to them if they do. This is an 8-9 win team, Dion, you rewrote the rules of college football. You have changed this forever. I promise you, and I promise readers in Denver, I will write that, but I got to see it. And we'll see starting Thursday if we get it.
Can't wait for Thursday night. Sean Keeler, columnist of the Denver Post, at Sean Keeler on Twitter, the man who found himself in the eye of the storm this weekend. I'm sure you got hit up. We were one of those long-distance cousins. Hey, Sean, can you come on the show? Thanks for responding. Thanks for the time, man. We appreciate it.
You better take care up there, guys. Thanks.
Yeah, there you go. Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. So for those who, you know, we kind of set that up, and I'm sure you saw it in the news this weekend. We played his back and forth, Sean's, with Dion at their football media day press conference a couple of weeks ago.
He's the guy that was like, what happened to you?
What happened to you? Why are you this way? Why are you so negative?
I couldn't remember if that was him.
That was him, yeah.
Well, we should have been like, Sean, what happened to you, dude?
Yeah, he didn't fight back too much in that moment. But also, that was, I remember saying at the time when we played the clip of, like, that's so much easier said than done than being in that room where Dion's coming at you and actually getting into a verbal altercation with the head football coach. That's not usually a good look, and I'm sure his employers wouldn't be happy about that. But he has written columns critical of Dion and his handling of the staff, his handling of the roster, his unserious nature in recruiting, his leaning in on the transfer portal and hoping for quick fixes, and he's used nicknames like the Bruce Lee of BS about Deion Sanders. And so Colorado got to the point where they said he is no longer allowed to ask questions. They will not give him the microphone and allow him to ask questions of Prime after games, after practices, in press conferences of any sort. And so he has been banned from communicating with college football, which has led to differing takes on each side of it, right? Some people say, well, if you're gonna name call and you're gonna demean and you're gonna only be critical, like, who wants to face those kind of questions? You should have the ability to do that. When the other side says, what is this, an autocratic society where journalism isn't allowed anymore and free speech isn't allowed and you can't, you're gonna shut people out who are ever critical of your program? I tend to lean the latter there, because I just, be a man and take it. If you don't want to answer the question, don't answer the question. Just say next question or give them a one-word answer. I don't know for certain. I'm willing to gamble that the head coach at Oregon doesn't like a certain reporter who covers his program from a local newspaper. I watch a lot of press conferences. The guy asks ridiculous questions like he is an X's and O's guru, and it's nauseating for the other media members, and I'm sure Dan Lanning has the same reaction. But he doesn't ban him from asking questions. You could tell there's a little disdain there, but he's not shutting down his opportunity to talk. And we'll see how this all works out. All I know is you're going to do this a week before game one. You better not lose on Thursday night.
That's a big one. And he talked about the talent. I mean, they've got a lot of talent coming into that portal, but their coaching staff, there's two coaches returning. They just lost their special teams coach. Like, he kind of demoted his offensive coordinator like three games to go. That guy went and got a head gig.
He did.
He lost his D coordinator already, who was, you know, people were ranting and raving about him. He came in.
He was an SEC Alabama Auburn guy.
He went back to the SEC. Yeah. And so I think the expectations, we all know they're there. It is the one thing I think about that sport specifically that I don't like. And I don't like that we, the media, and even the fans, because the fan, you see the fans on the mat, yeah, screw the media. And yeah. I'm always like, do you realize what kind of coverage you get if you don't have outlets?
I mean, it's just sycophants. It's people who are always painting a rosy picture and nothing but positive reporting.
And maybe you're in on that because, you know, we all love our biases and our own algorithm. But I don't have to like everybody in the media to say, like, we should all still be allowed to be there. And, you know, if you get a little pushback, you're the highest paid state employee. You should have a little pressure on you, I think, if you fall into that category. So you can certainly point to things and say, well, come on, man. Like, but also, to Sean's point, go talk to him. You're always talking about what a man, and go be a man, grow up, be tough. Okay, Sean Keeler offered to talk to you off the record, face-to-face. Hey, I'm a columnist. Some of this is gimmicky headline stuff. I give an opinion. You can disagree with it or make a point against it.
Yeah.
But banning is just a little bit ridiculous, and not every coach is doing that in college football, but you do see more secrecy and, like, just the stringent nature of what coaches say or don't say in that sport is, it's just always something that I haven't liked.
Yeah, it's like, if you're a Mariner fan right now, do you want somebody writing columns about how good of a job the owner's doing and how Jerry DePoto has been a great general manager? Like, is that what you want to read as a fan? Or do you want to read somebody who's honest and critical of your shortcomings and your failings? Like,
if the team's good and you're a little critical, then it's a problem. But when they're bad, it's okay.
Right.
It's a weird place to be.
And Colorado they got off to a 3-0 start last year and ended the season 1-8 after that.
4-8.
They won one conference game. And then I would argue not very good Pac-12. Like, Washington and Oregon were great. They didn't have to play Washington. They only played one of the two elite teams in the conference last year. Wasn't even that good of a year. Like, as a Blazer fan, I don't want somebody to report to me how great things are going. I have eyeballs. I can watch. I see that the last 3 years have been a disaster. I don't understand that desire for just positive messaging only when my eyes aren't lying to me of what I'm seeing.
I mean, maybe Prime just thinks that because he's played in the big markets and he's, you know, two sports star, baseball and football, and he's just, yeah, Atlanta, Dallas, like, he is literally taken questions from big media all his life. He's thinking that this is like New York City instead of Boulder, Colorado, and he's looking at this criticism like it's like the end all be all, you know, dying fan breath saying, you need to get everything done. No. And he just doesn't care. Or, I mean, he maybe just doesn't know where he is right now.
No, but like, we kind of know who he is, and you can certainly point to this incident and say, well, the media pundit was on the wrong side. I disagreed with the take. We saw what he did when the Braves won. How did Tim McCarver in the locker room go?
And Tim McCarver was critical of him, and he got a bucket of water on him
in the locker room. And a lot of people in the moment, I was probably one of those because a kid, and I love Deion Sanders.
Yeah, yeah, Deion!
He was a Brave, and it was just like, you know, and I love seeing the two-sport thing, but you can disagree with the take. We've seen he's been this almost his entire life as an athlete and now as a coach.
At what point do you just grow thick skin and say his opinion doesn't matter? Don't let it affect you. Like, that should be your message to players. Don't read the outside noise. Don't listen to the outside noise. There's somebody that's critical of you. You got an issue with it. When you beat TCU last year, you stepped to the up to the podium and said, "Do you believe now?" That was your whole thing. Like, go prove him wrong. He's making fun of you as a head coach.
Yeah.
Go win 8 games this year and laugh in his face at the end of the season.
That'd be a big year
for
you.
Think he's going to be critical of you if you go 8-4 and you stick around and you start recruiting? Of course not. Like, shut him up. I don't like the way the Colorado's handled it. I think it sends a bad message for the university, and we'll see how it goes.
They're making so much money
for this. They are making a ton of money off of this. But
and they're being talked about.
Just like any other high, what happens?
Well, if he leaves,
there is a crash.
There is.
And there will be a crash for them back to reality when Deion leaves, which will happen.
Then you go get a real X's and O's. You go hire Will Stein.
You're back to you hired Carl Durrell.
I get it. But you go hire Will Stein. Like, I'm just throwing a name, but like, that's your response to this is, we made money.
Now we go hire a legitimate coach.
Yes. And you're in a legitimate conference that's kind of open.
Yeah.
You're in the Denver Boulder area. Like, yeah, that's your response. We lost Deion. Go hire a real coach.
What do you think of this? What do you make of it, Deion, shutting down the questions from our guest there, Sean Keeler, 503-864-6326. That is the Vancouver Ford text line. A couple more thoughts on this and the opening weekend of college football. Back after this on The Fam. Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, online at crunch.com. Coming up top of the hour, we'll get to final preseason weekend thoughts. It is all wrapped up. Today is roster decision day, basically.
Mm.
Are you buying Drake May stock after his torching of the Commanders last night on Sunday Night Football?
I missed it, but I had to go back and watch clips. Collinsworth was having like an orgasm.
Dude, he was all over it, buddy. He was feeling hot.
He did look good. I was watching live doing the gambling show. He looked good.
I don't think the Commanders played anybody with a pulse.
No, they didn't.
That doesn't matter.
Zach Wilson, though. So, like, I'm kind of struggling. I'm like, these really mediocre quarterbacks had great days. What does this mean?
Does Zach Wilson having a kick-ass preseason, I'm not trying to say it's the same level, but does it make you kind of just pump it a little bit on the Bo Nix stuff?
Or is
it different?
I don't think I'm over pumping on Bo Nix.
I think Denver's pumping hard.
Denver's pumping hard. I'm not pumping hard. I'm just like, he's going to struggle. He's a rookie.
Denver's throbbing.
I have very realistic expectations, I think, for him. The other funny thing from the weekend was Jared Stidham saying he's a starting quarterback in the league.
I'm so sick of that.
Well, technically not.
Technically,
Bo Nix is the starter.
You're not.
Dude making $5 million has had an opportunity a couple of different times, and he just continues.
You've thrown 8 touchdowns in 4 years.
I love listening to Chase Daniel and Diana Rossini's pod, because Daniel will just always admit from time to time how awesome it was. I made a lot of money.
Dude, the backup quarterback life is great, man.
It's so good.
Ride it out, Jared.
You can't do anything in the pocket. It's okay, Jared. No, but Sean Payton, what did he say after 16 throws in Bo Nix's pro day workout?
He knew.
He called the GM and he's like, this is our guy. So I'm not even sure Dirt and I are being so high on Bo Nix. I think it is the Denver feel of Bo Nix, and I'm pretty excited to watch.
Gotcha. I am too. We're doing a couple thoughts here. We're talking about Deion and his banning of our guest Sean Keeler from asking questions going forward. I thought this is a good point. Somebody said at the Vancouver 4 text line, I think the Colorado banning Sean from asking questions is actually acknowledgement that Sean has a point. If Sean was just being ridiculous, Colorado shouldn't let it bother them. That sometimes you do strike a chord of like, yeah, there's a little truth to what he's reporting, and that makes you a little more sensitive.
Oh, shout out to the newspapers.
No, he's a bit of a fraud. Another one, he should take to heart the fact that nobody wants to hear anything that Deion says anymore. We know who he is. He's Willie Taggart, but whereas Taggart at least had two successful seasons at an FBS school. Somebody saying free agency does not work in excess. Deion will see that. They are I think there's always been an interesting balance with him where he is so good for the sport. Like the entertainment factor, we're watching Colorado. I can't wait to watch Colorado North Dakota State on Thursday.
Right.
I cannot wait
imagine
to watch that
saying
game.
That 2 years ago.
I would never say that. He's so good for the sport. The eyeballs are there. The interest there. The intention is all there. Mm. But just I think when you get away from that conversation into a real football conversation, that's where I lean more towards Sean. And just seeing how this all plays out is going to be fascinating for them because they're unquestionably benefiting from the enrollment, from the money, from the interest. Like Colorado is just, they are Scrooge McDuck right now laughing,
yes, they
diving
are
into a pit of gold coins.
Yep.
And how this all works out for them in the long run, I'm really interested to see because they are bending over to anything prime. Anything he wants to do, he can do. Anything he wants to say, he can say. Any rule he wants to make, he can make. They basically let him call all of his own shots. And I'm just curious to see how it works out for him long term. Big year for them.
It's not a good look, I think, for Deion. I mean, you remember the other thing in that press conference, the CBS Denver guy.
Not answering questions from CBS.
Because CBS had our friend David Cobb wrote an article for CBSSports.com coach rankings in the Big 12, and Deion was near at the bottom.
Yeah.
And the local CBS guy got boycotted for that, basically. Yeah. He's like, hey, no, I'm not going to answer a question from you. I respect what you do. I always love the I respect what you do, but yes, I won't answer your question.
It's not personal, but it is personal.
Because of an entity attached to your name. I always think that's a weird situation to be in. But, yeah, man, he's... it's a fascinating team because I don't think they're that good.
Right.
And I have a hard time believing that this much turnover just succeeds. Maybe they go 6-6. I think if they make a bowl game, you're pretty happy with
that.
Make
a bowl
game,
it's a successful year. Even though you're going to have to replace everybody again next year, it's going to be the same thing all over again if he's still there.
But imagine if they win four games again.
Yeah, you go 5-7 in the Big 12 this year. You lose to North Dakota State or Nebraska right out of the gate.
This isn't a strong Big 12.
Nope, no, it is not, Bob. No, it is not. So Sean Keeler, no longer asking questions. Deion, he has us all watching and all paying attention to Colorado football in a way that we have never done so far. What he has done again that he did last year successfully is put a giant target on his back. And again, Colorado has a massive target on their back, especially in those first 2 weeks of the season.
Yeah,
we got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. I want to get back into the Florida State stuff a little bit. For those who missed that in the opening hour, we talked about their loss to Georgia Tech and what it means for them. My Yellow Jackets off to a great start. Look at that, bleeding the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets
actually
to prominence.
Meant to give you a little credit. I feel like since you talked about them, there's a little vibe there with Georgia Tech being back.
One listener tweeted the show page over the weekend and said, Dirt's going to take credit for this, isn't he? You're damn right I'm going to take credit for this. I'm running a good program over here. What do you want from me? Final weekend of the preseason just happened in the NFL. Roster cuts are on the way. What do we make of this potential scenario in that league? It is a loaded final hour on a Monday. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2 foot tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition. You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again?
With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.